Welcome to Two Beers In. I'm JD Miller.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby Klein.
And episode 183, we have an NFL-filled episode.
That's right. Week one is in the books. Week two, ready to rock.
And we're going to rock it with one of the biggest matchups of the week.
The Monday Night Football matchup is Colts-Philly.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking with a member of Colts.com and kind of get the insight on what to expect from that matchup and some things in that might surprise you.
Yeah, Kevin Bowen joined us, talked a lot about what went right against Denver, what went wrong, and what they're doing to change things up as they get ready for the Eagles.
And we're going to talk what went right and what went wrong in the NFL in week one in just a second, but let's talk about this beer we're drinking.
Good old Potassi.
Potosi.
Potosi.
From
I added
Potosi,
an A to
you
it.
You did. From Potosi Brewing Company in Potosi, Wisconsin. Got this. This was a gift to the podcast. Good beer. It's good old Potosi beer.
Anytime we get a gift of a beer, it's usually a good one.
Yeah.
And this one's pretty, all profits for this company go to charity. That's pretty cool. Not too much. The bottle's a good design. The beer, JD, how would you define the beer?
A typical lager.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're not going to be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, but it's a good beer. It's a good sitting, watching football beer.
Yeah, if you don't want to go with one of the big name brands like a Miller or a Coors
or a
Bud, go with a good old Potosi beer.
What? That sounded like a commercial right there. Go with Potosi.
Go with.
I expect like a babbling brook.
Potosi, if you guys are interested, we're available. Yeah. You guys, we can do your ads.
We can do this. We will sign anything.
I was watching football on Sunday with the guys. And they were all surprised when I brought out my PBC, good old Potosi beer. After one sip, they weren't surprised anymore.
That's your commercial?
That's a bad tagline.
No,
I needed
that
a better tagline.
No, yeah. A good old Potosi beer? Potosi. Just like what you... No. I was going to go just like what you expect from a good Wisconsin brew, but then...
We're working on it. We've got ideas. We've got people putting numbers together.
It is a work in progress, but we hope to have that Potosi sponsorship deal down soon.
Oh, it'll be locked down soon.
Locked down, there were some big losses that went on in week one, but interesting enough, they were cross-conference.
Yeah, and so you look at what's the best loss that my team can have. It's when you're playing across a conference.
Yep. 'Cause
those games really don't matter in the long scheme of things. Obviously, you want to have the better record, but that's not going to hurt you come playoff race time when you're trying to look at for your division, for your conference. It's the best case scenario. So let's see, who were the losses that we had that did that? Bears, Bills, Washington, Houston. Those weren't bad losses for Washington or really for the Bears for that matter, although you would think the otherwise, seeing how Chicago has panicked this week, and I'm sure Washington kind of did the same thing. The worst losses, they come from the divisional matchups, which is what you saw with the Ravens, the Bucks, and the Patriots.
Wow, the Patriots. That one shocked everybody.
Yeah.
Scares me because the Vikings face the Patriots this week. So we'll really learn what both of those two teams have in store. But there was a lot of, like, too cocky, I like to call it.
Yeah.
And some of those matchups, teams came in thinking they were a lot better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams like... you know, the Steelers dominated the first half in their first game and then kind of choked in the second
almost
half.
Lost it to the lowly Browns.
Yeah, and the Saints as well. You know, Ryan threw for 450 yards on the Saints, and Breeze threw 42 times, had a costly pick, but Saints seemed a little cocky.
And that was a team that was coming in saying and you know, their defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, this is a new look defense. This is going to be great. You set records for the other quarterback.
Yep.
You know, you got to fix things up and fix things fast.
Speaking of fixing things, there's a number of teams, Bobby, that I thought had some devastating injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philly lost some linemen. I think that's big going into the Colts game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The Packers lost four key players in a division that is now kind of up for grabs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Eddie Lacy went down with a concussion. Brian Beluga went out. They're already down B.J. Raji.
Yep.
You can't afford any more injuries. And Seattle, man. That team just laid the wood to them.
They're good. They are so good. And I am curious to see how they're going to be. Another team I'm curious to see how they're going to be, and I know I've talked about this in previous shows, is San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't have them making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just feel maybe it's because Kaepernick signed a contract and after, you know, contract year, things go downhill.
Well, and you also saw them in the preseason, that first team offense, I don't think scored a touchdown in the preseason. So you looking at that team, you're like, okay, there's trouble with the front office and the head coach. They did add some weapons on offense for Kaepernick to throw to, but was it going to be enough? And apparently it was. They really looked good. It's going to be interesting to see how they come out in week two. Another team that really I think needs to have a great week too, but I don't know that they are because they're playing my Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow, another deal. Another, you sign a big deal.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Laid an egg, 3 interceptions in that game for him.
Ooh. It's, well, and I think we learned some things about your Broncos too. I think they have some defensive issues.
Well, they had some... I don't know if they have defensive issues. They got a good pass rush. Von Miller and Chris Harris are both still coming back from their injuries.
Their secondary is what I'm worried about, because you let the Colts in pretty quick back into that game in that second half.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting back. You're not as aggressive.
Yeah.
You got a big lead. I get that. But it did raise some eyebrows, I think.
I think, especially because people were talking about the signings that they had in the offseason, mm-hmm. That this was going to be a much better defense. You saw that the defense played really well in the first half. Second half, yeah, they let him come back. But they also had a great goal line stand, and they stopped him when it mattered. And that's the most important thing. Now let's talk about your Vikings.
What,
your leading rusher is Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, you might have just not even caught it on the bottom line. You thought, oh, Peterson. No, Patterson. It's exciting. I do like it, but I also see that he only had just a handful of catches.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me. I'm not worried about a rushing game. We're going to get the yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got the best running back in the history of the game. We're going to get the yards, but I want to see how this passing is done. And if you had watched any of the game, Matt Cassel didn't go downfield.
Yeah.
Didn't have to.
Yeah.
But didn't go downfield too much. What impressed me the most is our defense to really step up like that. And there's a lot of moves in the off season on that defense, drafting that running or linebacker out of UCLA, picking up some big free agents on the secondary. It's a big test this week with Phil.
You really get to see early on where you are. New England, yeah.
New England, yeah. And a team we learned a little bit about is the Colts. And after the break, we're going to hear from Kevin Bowen of Colts.com on what to expect this week as they face Philly.
Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what was going on when all my...
And we're joined by Kevin Bowen of Colts.com. You can follow him on Twitter at KBowenColts. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Interesting game you guys came. The Colts came off last week against Denver. Slow starts. They've played the Colts much of last season and cost them a bit this time around. What do you anticipate the Colts are doing to counter that this week? Because you can't have a slow start against Philly.
No, definitely. I think the biggest thing is kind of you got to finish off some of those first drives. On Sunday night, we saw the first drive penetrate Broncos territory. You got into an early 3rd and 1. Passed to Kobe Fleener, went over his head a little bit. He's trying to get the field goal crew out there, a little bit of personnel problems as well. Led to a delay of game, and then that pushed the field goal back to, I believe, 60 yards. Chuck Pagano elected to punt after that. So, again, it's one of those things where you look back on it, everybody sees 24-0 lead for the Broncos, Colts having to make a big comeback. But what if you get 3 there? What if you go down and convert that 3rd and 1 and get 7? It's little things within the box score that I think are going to be the biggest things for this team to really improve in starting the games. And it's great luxury to have when you're able to make those comebacks. Now, obviously, it's great theater and great drama for Colts fans, but at the same time, to survive a 16-game schedule and to win in a place like Denver or even beat Philly on a Monday night, you've got to stay ahead of schedule, get off to better starts. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And even on Sunday night, when you look at the second drive, similar thing. The Colts are able to move the ball pretty effectively. They got to midfield. Andrew Luck throws a pick on a 2nd and 7. Again, it's one of those things where it's the Colts kind of shooting themselves in their own foot. So the good news is these are self-inflicted type wounds. So again, it's not something that necessarily Denver did, but something the Colts know that they can correct and play like they did in the second half and play maybe just half as well as the first half. They're going to be right in that game, if not maybe having a lead in the fourth quarter.
You know, and one of the things that you got to come away as a Colts fan, you got to be really happy with the way Reggie Wayne looked. I mean, after missing a lot of last year with an injury, to come out, get 9 catches, 98 yards, did they think they would be able to get that much out of him that quickly?
I'm not going to lie. I've been shocked in Reggie's rehab. Now, credit Reggie. He has said since day one that he was going to be way ahead of schedule, and he was way ahead of schedule. But when he arrived at training camp in a typical Reggie Wayne fashion, arriving in an Indy car, he practiced that first day, and then, I mean, he wanted to play in the first preseason game. Chuck Pagano held him out. We saw him play a little bit against the Saints in that third preseason game. And then for him to go out there on Sunday night, play 69 of 75 snaps, this is a guy that rang the bell for 189 straight games. And, you know, when he was hurt in that Denver game in 2013 and he was down on the ground, he knew something serious, because that guy just doesn't miss plays, whether it be games, series and practices, plays in practice, individual reps in practice. He's a guy that really prides himself on always being out there. And the fact that he was able to turn in, again, a 9-catch, like you said, 98-yard performance, and it was pretty clear in chaotic situations, the Colts looked for him, whether it be even the first play of the game, just a calming influence. When Reggie's in that huddle, there's so many young skill players, but then you have Reggie, a 14-year veteran, a 35-year-old wideout, a guy that is, you know, more than 10 years older than pretty much your entire receiving core. And he saw the fourth down play late in the game. Again, Andrew Luck turns to him as well. So again, he gives you that calming influence. He's a guy that you can turn to in pressure-packed situations. I was surprised by his output, just because I think the Colts have so many weapons on offense that Wayne might not put up the same numbers that he put up in 2012, his first year with Andrew Luck, when he was a 1,300-yard receiver, because he really was the main threat. Now you've got T.Y. Hilton, the key next. You've got, you know, healthy tight ends and Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener. So again, it's one of those things where you don't need to force feed him, but at the same time, you do realize you have a potential future Hall of Fame wideout playing at a very high level, less than 11 months removed from ACL injury.
Well, and you're facing a Broncos team this past week where you got down early, so you had to pass often, but that did impact the running backs. Only 14 carries between Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right.
Is that a concern?
Yeah, and again, I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the sense of getting off to faster starts. Stay ahead of schedule. Andrew Luck throwing the ball 53 times. No one in the Colts building wants that to happen. I believe last year when he threw it over 40 times, the Colts are 1-3. The only win in the regular season being that comeback against Houston down there on a Thursday night game. The Colts are raised to 24-3 deficit down there. So again, it's staying ahead of schedule, being balanced. Richardson had 9 touches for 51 yards. Bradshaw had, I believe, 8 touches for 89 yards, or at least 10 touches for 89 yards. So when they touched the football, they obviously were very effective. But again, you don't want to be in the no-huddle tempo that you saw for the entire second half. Because to win in New England and win in Denver and win late in the season, you've got to be able to win not only throwing the football but also running the football. I think if you saw the playoffs last year, you know, Ryan Matthews had some great games as San Diego made the run. With Garrett Blount, obviously, had some terrific games for the Patriots. You know, Sean Moreno was very effective for Denver as well. And then the NFC, Marshawn Lynch, I think, was a big reason that Seattle eventually won the Super Bowl. So you got to be able to do both, especially in January when you could be traveling to these cities that probably aren't going to have great weather. You want to be able to rely on the likes of Richardson and Bradshaw and not have Andrew Luck have to go back, drop back 50 times a game, especially with such an inexperienced interior offensive line.
And let's flip it now, Kevin, to the defensive side of the ball. You know, last week you're playing the Broncos offense where, sure, they line up quick, but they make adjustments, they take time. Play clock ticks down under 5 seconds before they snap it every time. Now you're going up against a team that likes to go fast. I mean, these guys have over 20 seconds left on the play clock, and they're snapping the ball
exactly
to try to take advantage. How are the Colts adjusting their defense for this game?
again, that's the hardest thing, and I think the extra day of preparation helps. And at the same time, you have a guy in their coaching staff, Hamilton, who came from Stanford. Again, it's a different side of the ball, but Stanford had great success against Chip Kelly in college. So he knows, you know, I guarantee you he picks some of those Stanford coaches' brains during the offseason. And the hardest thing, I think, is how do you simulate, replicate that tempo? In college, it's one thing. When you've got 85 scholarship players, you know, you can have multiple huddles. You can really up the tempo of practice. You only got 53 guys on the active roster, 10-man practice squad. You can't really do that. And like you alluded to earlier, against the Jaguars in week one, Philly, on average, snapped the ball at 25 or 26 on the play clock. I mean, that is just mind-boggling when you think this day and age in the NFL, it's all about quarterbacks waiting until the last second to try to identify that one blitzer that's not trying to show his hand or trying to move that one skill player from this side of the formation to the other side. So trying to replicate that tempo is, I think, the biggest worry. Try to get all 11 on the same page, because you aren't, you know, there might be some drives where the 11 that you send out there on the first play, that's going to be your same 11 on the eighth or ninth play of the drive. I think that's the hardest thing, trying to match up with the Eagles. Colts fans know Darren Sproles all too well from his days in San Diego. He was just a thorn in the side. Even when he was in New Orleans as well, the Colts played him on a Sunday night. Sproles had a huge game. So weapons like Sproles and McCoy, it makes open field tackling at a premium. And again, the Colts, all they got to do is pop in the game film from the Eagles week one matchup. Philly looked pretty normal, or maybe even below normal for the first two quarters and a little bit of the third quarter. They're facing the fourth and one. They're down 17 points to the Jaguars. Sproles rips off a 49-yard touchdown. 34 points later, Philly's got a 17-point win. So, again, that offense in a blink of an eye can change things. And I, you know, assure you that Chuck Pagano and obviously Andrew Luck playing against Chip Kelly in college, they have great respect for what Philly is about and how innovative and how effective that system has been in these, you know, a little over a year in the NFL.
The Colts defense kind of struggled to get pressure on the Broncos early on. Without Robert Mathis gone, not only for 4 weeks, but for the year with an Achilles injury after a suspension, first-round draft pick out of 2013, Bjorn Werner comes in. I'd say lackluster. No quarterback pressures, three tackles. Is there a concern there?
No, definitely. I think the biggest thing now moving forward is where are you going to get the pass rush? Last year against Peyton Manning, 4 sacks and 49 attempts. On Sunday night, he only had 1 sack and 36 attempts. You let him get comfortable early in the first half, and again, he's going to pick any defense apart. So I think right now the Colts are just looking for some proven pass rushers, whether it be guys off the edge or can it be guys in the interior? Can it be your defensive line? You know, where is it going to come from? Because, again, you can't replace 111 sacks and 11 seasons. I mean, that's a guy that has potential to be wearing the gold jacket one day in Canton, and now you're going to be without him for the entire season. Right now, the 5 outside linebackers currently on the roster have a combined 21 sacks in 21 seasons, and 16 of those come from Eric Walden. So Bjorn Werner is the guy that's getting all the attention. He had the biggest media whore around him of any player not named Andrew Luck today. I think people realize, and he realizes too, he has a great grasp of, you know, he's only played football for a little more than a handful of years coming over from Germany, but he has a great grasp of why the Colts drafted him in the first round, what Robert Mathis is all about, and I think he realizes this is his time to shine. So, again, it's going to take multiple guys to get the job done, and like, a lot of it, again, falls on the Colts secondary. If Vontae Davis and Greg Toler can be those shutdown corners the Colts think they are on the outside, that's going to alleviate a lot of pressure up front, give high motor guys like Werner and Walden an extra second or two to try to get after the quarterback. We saw last week with the Jaguars and Eagles, Nick Foles was sacked 5 times. It doesn't happen a lot. The Eagles had the same starting offensive line all last year. They're really banged up on that line coming into Monday night. They placed 2 guys in IR earlier this week. Lane Johnson, their 4th overall pick last year, is out for the first 4 games due to PEDs. So they're a little banged up. So something has to give in that area. If the Colts can get after Foles, you know, and stay ahead of schedule and let, you know, make the Eagles play from 3rd and 6 and longer, I think the Colts will come out there with a victory on Monday night.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us. You can read his stuff on Colts.com. Follow him on Twitter at KBowenColts. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
we're featuring music from Luke Winslow King. He's an artist from Bloodshot Records. His second album is due out September 30th. The album's called Everlasting Arms. The single, it's the title track, Everlasting Arms, is already out there. We're going to be playing a very brand new track for everybody you can listen to.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. That's right. He's also coming to Chicago, JD.
When?
September 27th, just 3 days before his record release. He's playing Where? The Hideout. Nice. I mean, we listened to the whole album, both of us. And
yeah.
It's got a very New Orleans sound to it. That's where he's from, Michigan, but he studied a lot in New Orleans. There's a blues sound, a big brass band sound yep. to it.
And it gets rocking here a little bit at times.
Yeah.
Just a fun mix.
And here's a quote from the Chicago Reader on him, since they can probably describe it a little better than we can. Though the New Orleans singer-songwriter is just 29, he blends jazz and blues from bygone eras with such immediacy that I can easily imagine him unstuck in time, traveling back to the heydays of ragtime, pre-war gospel, and Delta blues. Winslow King remains faithful to the hearts of these old styles, even as he splices their genomes.
You know what? When you read that, I imagine like a smoke-filled room. I don't know what color the smoke is. This guy's like, let me write this. I got this.
I like that he worked the word genome.
I know, right?
Did not think we would finish with that.
It was on his calendar. It was on his word of the day calendar.
See, I'm going to work this in. But anyways, this is Luke Winslow King. Check him out. You can also go to bloodshotrecords.com to hear more from him. The song is called Swing That Thing.
In New Orleans a few years ago, and you walk down Bourbon Street and you have the sound coming out of these bars and this mesh of a lot of different styles, and he's got that great stuff.
He's captured it, man.
Well, Bobby, it's time for our six pack of questions.
That's right.
And I'm gonna go first because I, of course, am the better person. So Lions, Tigers, and Bruises coming up. You're going to it.
Yeah, Lincoln Park Zoo.
What does that entail?
It's drinking beer at the zoo. It's like a bunch of indie brewers. I think it's over 100 different companies are serving beers at the zoo, nighttime adult atmosphere.
Yeah, I want you to give me an event, a venue or an event where brewers can come in and it would seem even more odd than a zoo.
Easy. Brews at the carnival.
Yeah, okay,
like,
maybe.
You know, elephants
carnies are already drunk.
Around.
They're running the...
That's true. That's probably a bad decision then on my behalf. How about this? Brews at the Ice Capades.
I'll give you that.
There you go.
I'll give you that. That is bizarre.
Hey, let's go grab this microbrew, and then I got to see some pirouettes out there by Lion King on Ice. JD, you two and Apple teaming up because it's not big enough just to release the iPhone 6. You got to also release a brand new U2 album for free for all Apple users, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Microsoft's got to come back, right? They've got to do something. They've got the tablets in the NFL. Who should they have release a free album for Microsoft tablet users?
Does it have to be Microsoft tablet? Can I just say Android?
Sure, Android. That's
because
a competitor.
It is a much better platform than Apple. So if Android's going to be like, you know what? We're going to give you something even better, right?
All right.
Beatles reunion album. That is going to knock the socks off everybody because nobody's going to see it coming.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to. And I'm not just saying, you know.
I think Yoko Ringo, is going to be very surprised to see John back up there playing.
It is going to be awesome. And it'll just prove Android's superiority. Bobby, we're noticing in sports right now a resurgence of a trend. Beards in sports. There's, you see them in basketball, baseball, mm-hmm. football. If you had to say who has the number one beard in sports right now, who would it be?
Right now, I got to say Brett Keisel from the Steelers mm-hmm. always sports a really good beard.
It's a big, it is but a Cornelius.
I'm not going to UConn give it to Cornelius. Him. UConn Cornelius, he's spitting image.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to give it to Ryan Fitzpatrick from the Houston Texans.
Really?
He's got a great one going. You saw it during the HBO Hard Knocks when the Falcons played the Texans. You saw it, and he actually talked about the beard and it's growing with TJ Yates. It's pretty sharp, man. He's for a quarterback to sport that big of a beard, that's a big deal.
Yep.
I love it. JD, Notre Dame just absolutely destroyed Michigan. I mean, demoralized Michigan fans.
Yeah.
Best way ever, probably, to go out since that rivalry is now ending, mm-hmm. or at least they're, for a while, they're not going to be playing each other.
Correct.
Did it also finalize Brady Hoke in that there's no coming back after this? Is this it for him?
I think it is. I think patience is short up in Ann Arbor, and they know that they really have to make a big splash because right now, who's the talk of that state? It's Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
They were so used to being a power in the Big Ten, and right now they're just not that, and this could be the nail in the coffin. I see them doing like Ohio State did and bring in one of the bigger name coaches that they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
They have to. And I like the guy. It's unfortunate. But it's the direction they have to go. Speaking of college football, there's been a lot of excitement so far. What is the biggest surprise to you in college football?
So far, it's got to be that the Big Ten has been so disappointing.
Crap in the bed.
No, I mean, their best teams, their usual teams, are all doing poorly. Ohio State and Michigan, both losers this past week in bad ways. I just don't know. I didn't see it coming. Northwestern lost to NIU. I mean, all the teams are looking pretty bad this year. Wisconsin had that bad loss to LSU. I mean, it looked like they were going to win that game, and they ended up losing. So Big Ten has got to be the biggest surprise to me so far. Really disappointing season. JD, last question. We talked about some of the Week 1 surprises. I want you to project the biggest surprise of Week 2.
The biggest surprise of Week 2... I think it's, and, you know, having the show based in Chicago, it's tough to say this. I think the Bears are going to get trounced by the 49ers. And, you know, I don't think the 49ers are that good.
Mm-hmm.
But expectations were so high. You know, Brian Billick came out and said that Cutler is going to win the MVP this year. And bold statement. I think they're going to drop another one, and then finger pointing is going to start happening. I think that's going to be the biggest surprise. I think everybody's expecting a good game. I just don't see it.
Wow. All right.
All right. Well, that brings us close to the station. When we come back, last call, one stop away. Bobby, a German man named Oliver Strumpfel is a guy we could all use on our team. An individual capable of carrying 27 liters of beer at once. And is it any surprise this guy is German? Absolutely not. Germans are renowned for being awesome when it comes to every stage of beer. 147 pounds worth of beer is what this guy carries. 27 liters at once. It's a world record. Now, he was up against only one other competitor for this, but I'm showing Bobby a picture of the guy right now.
Oh, my gosh.
These aren't small beers.
He has no tray or anything. If he's a server, he's using his hands to carry all these beers.
Yeah, he was up against only one competitor, but had to fill it and then carry them 40 meters. So he doesn't have to just pick it up and say, hey, I'm over. Yeah. No, he had to walk. Now, his shirt got doused. He spilled some on him, but that's okay. He said he had to undergo training to be able to do this. He went to the gym all winter is what he said. He once had a disaster where he spilled 23 beer mugs at once.
Mm.
Yeah, not good, but unbelievable. So as we head to this Oktoberfest, Bobby, you go into all these festivals. It's time for you to start carrying 27 beers.
Apparently. But he's the man that, so he's the guy that you send up to the bar to represent you.
Yes.
You don't got to stand in a long line because you can use him.
Yep.
Get beer for the entire group.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, JD, with that logic. He already showed he's spilled 23.
He has spilled. There's a risk. There's a risk involved. That's why you say, you know what? I don't need a world record performance. Just give me a good effort. Then you can assure you're going to get all your beer.
There you go. Plattsburgh, New York is the scene of my last call, JD. 22-year-old New York man was arrested by the police. He was found with marijuana, cocaine, and LSD. Now, this is a new one where he was hiding this one. His name is Gregory Bolognese.
I don't even want to guess where he hid it.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking somewhere on his person.
Yeah,
no,
like in a
don't
shoe.
Worry about
in
it.
In a shoe,
yeah,
body.
In a shoe. That's probably where you're thinking. No.
Okay.
What is the number one youth program against drugs, JD?
DARE?
Yeah, DARE.
Okay.
Did you ever have them come to your school?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they always bring stuffed animals for the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
He put it in a DARE lion stuffed animal.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. He's busted. He stuffed it inside the lion doll wearing a DARE shirt. I guess if you're like, I really am anti-drug, so there's no way I have drugs in me. See, yeah. I'm 22 years old and I have
a
DARE lion.
Yeah. Well,
that's not a red flag. That's like the guy that always says, I swear to you, I'm not lying. What I'm telling you is the 100% truth. You know that guy's lying all
exactly.
the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not into drugs. Look, I have a DARE lion. I care so much about it. I'm going to go talk to the kids about not using drugs.
Oh, yeah. Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots out there. Well, it's been a fun show. A big thank you to Kevin Bowen for joining us.
Yeah.
And check him out on Twitter and on Colts.com, as we mentioned before. Where can you find us, Bobby?
Be sure to follow us on Twitter, JD. Two Beers In is our tag on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook. Two Beers In is our Facebook account. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're everywhere, brother.
What if you want to email us?
Email the show, twobeersin@gmx.com. That's the number two, by the way, if you're entering Two Beers In. twobeersin@gmx.com. We'll see you next week, everybody.
It was on his calendar. It was on his word of the day calendar.